Welcome back to Season 2 of the Jack Norris Podcast. We like to call it Jack Unmasked. Hockey stories from the 60s and 70s. Proudly brought to you by Ron Brown Implements. All your tractor, trailer, and tandem needs. Call Ron just north of Delisle at 306-834-7109. We hope you enjoy reminiscing about hockey as much as we do. So, without further ado, let's chat with Jack. Okay, we're back with the Jack Norris Podcast, Jack Unmasked. Jack, how are things going today?
Good. We're working hard. We're taking the crop off yet, but we're hope we keep the good weather. It doesn't rain for a few days, so we should get done, but been a long, hard grind.
It's October 24th here today, and you're helping your buddy Ron Leonard finishing it up here.
Ron, he anticipates well, and we had 5 weeks of bad weather there, never turned a wheel, and he thought, you're going to get this good summer yet, and we'll get her off. He held back. He didn't take it off at 16 because he got no dryer or nothing like that. Anyway, I respect the guy. He knows what he's doing, and he's doing it this way, so we've got maybe a couple days or 3 days at the most left, and we should be done.
It was a terribly 5 weeks of poor weather there, which put everybody through a lot of stress and more than what we're used to, because I don't think I remember a stretch that long where guys couldn't get going.
Well, I don't think there ever has been one that long.
You know why Ron gets those guys to work so hard?
No.
Because I think he carries a stick around and hits them like what we're talking about today. He whacks these guys around the yard pretty good, I think.
Well, he needs to.
old school management style is working quite well out there. Yeah. So today's podcast, we're talking about some of the, well, we're going to get into some of the bigger stick fights that happened. We'll get to the main ones here at the end, like the Bobby Smots versus Larry the Rock Zidell. You were at that one. And of course, I think the most famous one that I was always familiar with was the Ted Green and Wayne Mackey one, which was terrible. But you were around a couple other incidents as well too. Like, we've got what do you call these notebooks or not notebooks? What do you call these?
Press clippings.
Yeah, where you take the press clippings out and you glue them into a big book.
I got lots.
There's a word for that people do. Did you do this or did Mom do this?
Oh, no, I did that.
You did it all. Oh, yeah. So you were really good at actually keeping all your press clippings, you know, from all the years. So we've got four big books, and all the way going back to your Estevan days to in Dallas and L.A. and Seattle and Chicago and everything. And so I got flipping through the books here. So here's a picture here, and I'm going to take a picture of it, and it'll be the picture for the podcast. But it says a high-sticking duel between Harley Hodson of the Blades and George Swarbrick of San Francisco. And it's basically the two of them standing there swinging sticks at each other.
Well, you know, that wasn't good. I mean, anytime you've seen that happen, it was bad news because, you know, like I can remember Bobby Smots, he got in stick fights. Or when Harley Hodson's come up there, his eyes are so big. Like when that happens, I mean, that's a different thing altogether. When you see another guy looking at you and he wants to cut your head off, so what are you going to do? But you got to cut his head off. And that's exactly how stick fights go. And it was just, and I know George really well. He played with Moose Jaw and Junior, and we picked him up 1 year to go up to play Edmonton. And George is a nice guy, but you know what? When you put those skates on and you bump into a guy, and you know what? Things erupt, and then all of a sudden, if you won't drop your mitts, well, then the stick fight's on.
That's right. It was pretty interesting. I was just kind of looking up some information about some of these stick fights, and there was a website that came up with the top 10 NHL stick fighters. So some of these guys, like Larry Zidell, doesn't make it because he didn't play that long in the NHL.
No.
But Bobby Smots makes number 10. Yeah, he made 10. And actually, interesting, well, Ted Lindsay made 4, and you always talked about him being a dirty player.
Oh, he was he's number one dirt.
Yeah.
Well, I'd say number two. We got another guy who was dirtier than him, was Eddie Van Imp.
Oh, and Eddie didn't make the list, but...
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, he would... Well, that Russian highlight we've seen there is just an example of how... And, you know, I can't imagine a guy like Eddie Van Imp who, mean as he was with that stick, like, I never ever saw him fight. I don't think I ever did. But with that stick, you had to go through 53 inches first, and I'll guarantee you, by the time you drop your mitts, you'd be bleeding.
Yeah.
Because he'd have you cross-check you across the head or spear you or well, that one picture we saw, he just drove the guy from his side and just that rush
yeah.
and knocked
yeah,
him flying.
When people think of the Broad Street Bullies, they don't necessarily think of Eddie Van Impe off the hop.
No.
They think of Dave Schultz and Kelly and, you know, some of the other guys that were more known for the fisticuffs. But if you ever go back to the 1976 Flyers-Russia series,
yeah,
it's Eddie Van Impe's hit and play that sends the Russians off the ice.
Exactly. That's what they wanted a penalty. And the referee, it was Lloyd Gilmore. I saw him there. And the referees wanted a penalty. And they said, what did he do wrong? He just hit the guy, so he hit him hard. That was legal in those days. I mean, yeah. That's the way life went.
Looked like an elbow to the head, but I mean,
oh, yeah.
At the same breath. But it was funny, and the announcer was like, the hit looked good to me.
Yeah, well, and, you know, it's different from those days than what it is now. So
sure it was, you know, like, yeah, they were tough. You know what surprises me on this list is that Stan Mikita made number 3.
Yeah.
I thought Stan was known as a gentleman.
Well, you may think that, but he's just a little guy, you know. He's not a big check. He's a little guy.
Yeah.
Figure if they could stop Stan, they got the Hawks under control, and they would get run a lot, and he always kept that stick. You know, the old saying is when you're playing hockey is keep your head up, especially back in those days.
Because you
could
up.
Be it. Yeah. And when you see a guy coming to you, you got to raise that stick and catch him right in the face, and then he's going to get the worst of it. But you do that nowadays, you're going to be penalized, and you can't do that. But back in our day, you could, and that's the only way Stan. And, you know, he'd say, if a guy wanted him, I'm going to kill you. He'd say, you got to come through 53 inches first, and then we'll see who wins the fight. But, Stan would carve you.
He's obviously tougher than I thought. I mean, but he played 20-some years, so he had to be.
Well, he's got that stick, too, with that longer blade and a the big hook, and it's just like a knife. It's sharp. He can do damage to you pretty quick.
It's amazing that they all went through that. Another guy that, you know, you've seen had some incidences there, too, was, we're going to talk about Wayne Mackey, but Chico Mackey, who was with the Blackhawks when you were there, and obviously he played with, what, Bobby Hull and...
Probably Kenny Warren, probably, or somebody.
Okay, but he was on the big line, Chico.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you've seen him have some incidences out there, too.
Well, yeah, I remember one night I was with the Bruins and we were playing in Chicago. The game was pretty tight. I don't know what the score was, but it was pretty... We were still in the game anyway. I remember Chico had a grudge against Tommy, because Tommy told us after, and he said, I guess he got even because somehow he hit him one time or whatever, and Chico never forgot that. When this opportunity came up, Tommy went into the corner to get the puck, and Chico come flying in, and he jumped at him, which you're not supposed to do now, but he jumped high and caught him in the head with an elbow. Tommy's a pretty good-sized guy, and caught him with an elbow. Then on the way, when he come down, his foot caught the back of Tom's calf and sliced it open, impaired him from walking the rest of his life. He walked with a limp. He was never right after that.
Wow. Hey.
So they carried him off on a stretcher, and he was gone. When we came in after the period, he was gone to the hospital and had to get all stitched up, and the doctors had to look at him. But that was just one of those things that happened. So, and Chico's a nice guy. He wouldn't mean to do it. It's just he played the game hard.
Oh, they all did.
Yeah, well,
they all did.
If he didn't, you wouldn't be there.
You wouldn't be there if he didn't.
No.
No, that's exactly right. So there's only, like, at the time, 6 teams and 20 guys.
Yeah.
Everybody, they were talented, but they had to be tough. There was so many guys out there that were trying to intimidate you.
Everybody says to me, how did you weather the storm? And I said, well, you know what? You just adjust to it. You know, when you're brought up playing hockey and you become, you're pretty fairly good and you're in every game and you're going to be run at because they want to get you playing bad. And like I said to Bobby Hull one time, I said, like, do you ever shoot at my head intentionally one time in Chicago? And I said, you ever shoot at my head intentionally? He says, yeah, if you're playing against us and you're playing too good. He said, when I come in off that wing, first ones are at your head.
Oh, sure.
And then next ones are at your feet.
Yep.
Get you straightened up, get out of your crouch. And he says, you know what? We want to win too, you know.
Oh, yeah. And that was common.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That was really common. We were looking up some highlights there of Larry the Rock Zeidel, and there's a good interview with Don Cherry we found there talking about him. And one of the stick fights that Larry had when he finally got to the NHL was with Eddie Shack, actually.
Yeah.
I don't know. You probably didn't see that one, but...
Well, I seen the picture of them both bleeding. I remember that picture from back in those days. And I remember that, but I don't think they connected too well. Maybe just nicked each other or something to make it bleed. They were both bleeding, so they got hit.
Oh, yeah.
When they swing, boy, they swing from it's left field. They take a cut at you.
And I think, I don't know why Shaq got into that one. Maybe he didn't know at the time, because Zidell would have had a reputation by then as being a stick fighter and all that, because he had done so many in the minors before he got to the NHL.
It's just one of those things. I mean, Larry's a tough guy, but Don Cherry said he was a nice guy, but on the ice, he was different. He's just a different kind of guy altogether.
I remember when I was younger, Bruins fan, and Bobby Smuts was a big part of the Bruins back in the day with their tough teams. And of course, Smuts is from Saskatoon, and you played junior with Bobby for years and stuff. So you played with him, what, 3 or 4 years in Estevan, and then also in the minors a little bit.
Yeah.
You were familiar with Bobby Smuts.
Yeah.
And you used to always tell me when he got into a fight, you tell me what it was like when you saw Bobby get into a fight.
Oh, when he got in with Larry Zidell, that one, I remember looking at his eyes and they were so big. Like, nobody gets in there to break him up, because you're going to get carved if you get in there. You're going to get carved up. Once they're ready to do it, there's nobody around, and they turn to each other and they cross-check and whatever, and they back off and they got the stick in their hand. You know, it's a miracle if you can ever break them up before somebody's cut but good.
Yeah.
And that's what, I don't think anybody got cut in this fight, but they were swinging from left field.
Huh.
Oh, and just missing, like, oh, I'll never forget that stick fight. It happened in Seattle.
That's it, where, did it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And like, no helmets, obviously.
Oh, no. No. Nothing. You had half the protection you got now. I mean.
Yeah.
Boy, but Smotsy, but you know, Smotsy, I didn't know Zidell hardly. Well, I knew to play against him, but Smotsy, he was a tough kid. Like, he come from a bad group in Saskatoon, and
sure,
and street fights and everything else. And Orby was his buddy, and they always palled together. And Bobby, he would never say no, ever. I mean, you could challenge him if he had a stick in his hand. Let's go.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't drop the mitts. I mean, he knew he was going to get clean.
But he said you saw him get into a scrap with Larry Robinson.
Yeah, and that wasn't very long. Bobby was down because the sticks didn't come up, and Larry just popped him one, and down he went.
Well, Larry's a big guy.
Oh,
and Bobby's not that big.
No, Larry had a long reach, and he just got Bobby a straight arm with the left hand and threw the right, and Bobby was...
Is that right?
On his back. Oh, yeah. Bobby, he talks about that every time I see him, or whenever we talk hockey. He says, that Robinson, he's a tough cookie, he says.
Oh, yeah. He was way tougher than people thought.
Oh, yeah. He could fight.
He was just more of a bit of a gentleman, didn't want to fight as much. But when he did, you ever hear about him losing the scrap?
No, I don't think.
The most famous one, I think it's the most famous stick fight that was out there, was the Ted Green, Wayne Mackey one. And every time I mention it to you, you almost take a deep breath and you're kind of like...
Well, that was hard. You know, I remember, like, it happened yesterday, and it happened 40, 50 years ago. Wayne Mackey, I played with him in Dallas and probably in Chicago. But Teddy Green, I played with in Boston a long, long time ago, and it was a very emotional thing because I knew both guys quite well. And Teddy was a tough man. Like, he's hard to get to know, because, you know, he could fight and he could take the rough going and he could bull you over. And He was just like, kind of like Tim Horton, same attitude as Tim, big strong guy, and they got into a stick fight there one night. Wayne was kind of a challenge type guy, not the same, but anyway, Teddy called him something or whatever. Wayne said something back to him, and they weren't good words, of course, and they had their sticks in their hand, and all of a sudden, one guy took a spear at one guy, and the other guy took a swing back at him with a stick. And then they both backed up and they went at a stick fight.
Yeah.
And nobody was getting in there, like nobody. And their eyes were big and they fought. And then Teddy took a shot right over top the head and just downed him. I can still see him going down. I looked at him. I think I was playing with Chicago at the time. Maybe not. I can't remember which team I was with. But he went down and, oh man, he almost died.
Yeah.
Oh, he went into the dressing room and he was done for the year.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah, he was gone. Then he come back with this little helmet to protect his head. He had to wear that every time.
Oh, okay.
But when he come back, his mental attitude was different and he was just a different kind of... Couldn't even carry conversation sometimes because he was mentally hit upstairs. It was hard. And then I seen him coaching with Edmonton with Glenn Sather. Sather kind of took him in and had him for assistant coach in that.
I think he was head coach for a while.
Was he?
Mm-hmm.
And yep. I've never heard of anybody ever comment about how Teddy was, but it was just a different kind of guy.
Well, you thought that, you know, you don't know long term, but short term, it definitely changed him.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he went to New York with Sather after that, and I don't think he's still in hockey now. You never hear Teddy. You never see him interviewed on TV or see him at a game or anything.
Yeah.
He's just away from it. You know, that's a bad thing. That's stick fight. Just recommend to kids, there's a better way of settling things than using sticks. Don't.
I don't think they know what you're talking about, but maybe the young ones, we used to always whap each other in the basement.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you go back to Glenn Sather there and Ted Green, because Glenn Sather and Teddy Green were friends when they played. I think they played together, I don't know if in Boston, but I know they played together.
Yeah, in Boston. Glenn Sather was on the fourth line and Teddy was a defenseman, yeah.
And if you look, wherever Glenn Sather went, Teddy Green went with him.
Oh, yeah.
In the back of my mind, I'm like, he took care of him for the rest of his life.
Oh,
did you believe that?
Oh, yeah, I do. No, mm-hmm. I can see that, because Sather, he wasn't a very big guy. I played with Sather in Oak City, I think it was, for a month or something, 2 months. And he was the playing coach down there. And Sather wasn't a great hockey player, but you know what? He was a checker. That's what he was. If you're playing against the Hawks and he's with the Bruins, he would just check you. Just check, check, check.
Because I knew about that story, and I knew that you had kind of had mentioned before that incident really changed Teddy Green. And when you watched, you know, all those years that he was assistant general manager or even the head coach or assistant coach with Edmonton, and then when Sather moves to the Rangers, Teddy Green did go over there as well a few years, right, as his right-hand man, basically. And in the back of my mind, I was kind of like, and we talked about this, and you'd mentioned it. That's why I guess I always thought that, is that he took care of him.
Yeah, well, he would. I mean, Slats was just a little guy. When he won those five cups with Edmonton, he just got a hockey mind. He just knows how to do things, and he knows what you need, and he gets what he needs.
That stick fight there, that Teddy Green, Wayne Mackey one, that's the one I really wanted to talk about there today, because I know from talking to you, and we alluded to it last week, even before we started recording here, that one, like, has mentally scarred you.
It did. It's permanent. Oh, yeah. I mean, everybody said, how can you remember that long ago? Well, something like that. You remember.
Oh, yeah.
Believe me, because I was in my mind, I was just shocked when that happened. And you know, it's just part of the game, I guess, in those days.
Part of the game in those days.
Yeah. It's just,
it wasn't uncommon to see guys get sticks up. It's just whether, like, in this case, they connected.
Yeah.
And the guy got seriously hurt.
Oh, yeah.
But it wasn't like it wasn't uncommon to actually hear about it or see it back in the day. But it's just that this is the one that was somebody seriously got hurt.
Yeah,
I do believe that was the first time that two players ever got charged with assault.
Well, I mean, you can't do that. I don't care what sport you're playing. You can't hit your opponent over the head with a stick. You just can't. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just, the game would be terrible. So you can't do that.
Because I think it pretty much finished the stick fighting very uncommon after that, because I believe both guys got charged, don't you think?
Well, I don't know if they got charged or not or whatever. I know it went further on than what happened on the ice, but you know, I don't see stick fights now, and they can't. I mean, a lot of spearing and
I think that's why Masoli got charged.
Because
he did get charged precedence of this.
Yeah. Well, it probably cost Marty a lot of money. I'm not sure what happened there either, but...
Yeah.
No, it's too bad, but that's the way it was.
That's the way it was, but these were all tough guys.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was... I don't know how to describe it, but there was so much... They would do anything for anybody, and they were all tough. And so even like when we talk about Ted Lindsay's and Stan Mikita's being tough and the Gordie Howe's being tough, well, there was third and fourth line guys that made these teams because they were really tough.
Oh, yeah. Like Reggie Fleming, for instance. He couldn't skate very good. He was tough.
Yes.
He played with the Bruins. And, you know, after I left the Bruins, that's when they had a lot of tough guys.
Oh, for sure.
Like guys first line, they could fight. I mean, they're there to protect the big hockey players and protect Bobby Orr when he was there. And I remember Bobby Orr, he liked to get into fights. I mean,
he did.
He did.
Yeah, he was always pretty good at it, actually.
Well, he got knocked down a few times, but you know what? And then finally, Milt Schmidt, I think, was coaching at the time, and he called him in the office one day, and he said, Bobby, I want you on the ice. I don't want you in the penalty box. He said, don't worry. If this guy needs to be straightened out, I'll get somebody after him. Don't worry. Yeah. He'll get straightened out, but not by you.
Yeah.
So Bobby had to lay off penalties and stay on the ice. Because anytime you get a penalty with a guy like Bobby Orr or Bobby Hull or Gordie Howe, you're doing a good job.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. You're doing a great job. We'll give you a raise now.
Yeah, that's right, eh?
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. No, right on. So you know what's going on in a couple of weeks?
No, what's going on?
We're going to that function.
Oh, yeah, on November 3rd.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be a good deal. It's whoever's still playing hockey 80 and over, they're going to put them into a Hall of Fame in Saskatoon. So I think that's great. Scrudlin is one of the guys that's going in.
Brian's dad.
Yeah.
I don't know the dad's name, but Brian Scrudlin's dad still plays. He's over 80, and he's going into the Saskatchewan Hall of Fame.
Yeah, he's a big guy, big defenseman, and... Yeah, he's still doing it, and with Brian's coming home, and Dennis Hull's coming.
Yeah.
Who else?
We're going to get a chance to talk to Dennis Hull, hopefully, for the podcast there.
Yeah.
That's our plan. He knows about it, but you know how things go sometimes.
Yeah. We'll get him. We'll come to a room or get another room or something and say, come on, I want to talk to you about hockey. So
I don't think it's hard to get Dennis talking, but I know a couple I want to definitely ask Brian, because I talked to his buddy and he's given me a couple.
Yeah.
He's heard a couple having a few beers with him that are just great stories.
Yeah.
I think it'll be good.
That's good.
Right on. Okay, well, I think that was a good podcast there, Jackson, so I think we'll leave her at that.
Okay, well, I hope the boys got my truck all fueled up and everything for the field today.
I'm sure they do. Okay, we'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
Okay, bye. Well, that ends episode 4 of season 2 of the Jack on Mass podcast, where Jack reminds the kids that using your stick in a stick fight is not a way to settle things. Just kidding, Jackson. Actually, when we do talk about it, it does bring back some memories, and you can tell that it's still emotional and it's still hard for him to go back and envision it. But at the same breath, it was time in hockey that happened, and it was great that he had shared that story. So thanks for that, Jackson. If you'd like to be notified of each podcast that comes out every Friday, go to www.nccag.ca, click on the podcast tab, enter your email, and you will be subscribed and notified of each podcast. Until we talk to you next week, thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you.
Teddy was a tough man, both backed up, and they went out of stick. And their eyes were big. Teddy took a shot right over the top of the head. Just down. He almost died. That was hard. You know, I remember it like it happened yesterday.